हरिः ओ सहनावतु सहनौभुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
on page 24. This is confirmed by Sridhar Swami in Bhavartha Deepika 111 that the Gayatri phrase indicated by this word Dhimahi begins this Purana shows that this work has the nature of Brahma Vidya, Vedic knowledge of the Supreme called Gayatri. Because the whole point is the opening that sets the statement of the pratigya of what is the actual mood of the whole work. Does that make sense? Yeah. So therefore, then Sridhar Swami is saying that this then establishes that is of transcendental. It's not just dealing in the mode of goodness and nice things in this world, but its actual focus is on transcendence. In the Gayatri, the word appears as follows. Okay, let us meditate on the all-worshipable. Let us meditate on the all-worshipable effulgence of the Supreme Lord, the Giver of Life. May He inspire our intelligence. Rig Veda 3:62:10 and Srimad Bhagavatam begins. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Chanmadhyasya yataha yato anvayat itaratas chartesva vigyasvara tene brahma ridaya adikaveye muhyanti yat suraya tejo varim ridam yatavini mayo yatra trisargo mrisha dhamna svena sada nirasta kuhakam satyam param dhimahi. Let us meditate on Lord Sri Krishna because He is the absolute truth and the primeval cause of all causes of the creation, sustenance, and destruction of the manifested universes. He is directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations, and He is independent because there is no other cause beyond Him. It is He only who first imparted the Vedic knowledge under the heart of Brahmaji, the original living being. By Him, even the great sages and demigods are placed into illusion, as one is bewildered by the illusory representations of water seen in fire, or land seen on water. Only because of Him do the material universes, temporarily manifested by the reactions of the three modes of nature, appear factual, although they are unreal. Therefore, we meditate upon Him, Lord Sri Krishna, who is certainly existent in the transcendental abode, which is forever free from the illusory representations of the material world. We meditate upon Him, for He is the absolute truth, Srimad Bhagavatam 111. Meditation on the personality of Godhead, indicated by the injunctive verb dhimahi, comprises the essence of Krishna consciousness. The path of unalloyed devotional service, the same means of achieving the perfection of human life as taught by the Vedas. Padma Purana was mentioning always remember Krishna, never forget. Right? So then that becomes the...
Right. It's only on this word, dhimahi, that they say that because it's Gayatri?
Well, dhimahi in this form is only used in the Gayatri. Atmava are drashvaya shrotavyo mantavyo nididhyasitavyo maitreyi. My dear Maitreyi, one should realize the Supreme Soul and come to see Him directly. One should hear about that soul, carefully think about Him, and deeply meditate upon Him. Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad 4.5.6. And then from Svetasvatara Upanishad. I have Vedaham etam purusham mahantam adityavarnam tamasah parastat tamevam viditvati mrityum eti nanyah panta vidyate. I have realized the Supreme Person, effulgent like the sun, beyond the darkness of material illusion. One who knows Him goes beyond death. There is no other path to perfection. It's also in Purusha Shukta. Another reason Vyas did not write the original Gayatri in Srimad Bhagavatam is that doing so would have invited misinterpretation. Various schools of thought have explained Gayatri differently, as a meditation on impersonal Brahman, on the sun, on the fire god, on Lord Shiva, and so forth. Only rarely is it understood as a meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. But in Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Vyasa's own commentary on the Vedanta Sutra, Vyasadeva delivers the complete and unambiguous meaning of Gayatri in the opening verse. He reveals that Gayatri is a meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His eternal consort, Sri Radhika. This meditation is indeed the highest dharma. And in Ucheda 105 of Paramatma Sandarbha, Srila Jiva Goswami will explain the Gayatri mantra in detail. And in Krishna Sandarbha, he will give a thorough analysis of the Bhagavatam's first verse as the meditation on Sri Radha Krishna. Okay. No? You don't have? I have. Why don't you? Why, what did you do? What did you do wrong?
Let's not get into that.
Okay. Just in regards to this.
Okay.
Yeah, we're making a full pronounce.
Well, that would take a long time.
Okay. Authoritative descriptions of Srimad Bhagavatam 19-20. Summary. This concluding section of the Pramana Kanda represents Jiva Goswami's endeavor to establish Srimad Bhagavatam as the indisputable authority in search of knowledge. So far, he's cited various Puranic statements in glorification of the Bhagavatam. During Jiva Goswami's time, however, tantric worshippers of Durga Devi raised the controversy that the Devi Bhagavatam, rather than Srimad Bhagavatam, was the actual Bhagavatam glorified in the Puranas. Of the 18 major Puranas, the Devi Purana does indeed match the defining characteristic described in the Matsya Purana. Like the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Devi Bhagavatam is a Purana with 12 cantos, 18,000 verses, and recounts pastimes of Prahlad and Vritasura. Also, when some scholars read in the Puranas that on the full moon day of the month of Bhadra, one should donate the Bhagavatam mounted on a golden lion, Hema Simha, they take this to mean Devi Bhagavatam. This seems fitting since Devi rides on a lion. In this Anucheda, Srila Jiva Goswami resolves the controversy by citing references that list distinctive features of Srimad Bhagavatam. It begins with the Gayatri Mantra. It contains the Hayagriva Brahma Vidya. The events it narrates happened in the Sarasvata Kalpa, and it was first spoken by Sri Sukadeva Goswami to Birkit Maharaj. In this way, Jiva Goswami clears any doubts concerning the Bhagavat's position as the crown jewel of all the Sattvic Puranas, and hence all the Vedas. Text 20.1 to 20.5. In the Skanda Purana, there are seen the same verses that are found in the Matsya Purana. Quote, among the various scriptures known on earth, the one that recounts the histories of men and devatas during the Sarasvata Kalpa is called the Bhagavatam. A person who transcribes a copy of the Bhagavatam, places it on a gold lion throne, and gives it as a gift to someone on the full moon day of the month of Bhadra, will attain the highest goal. This Purana is said to have 18,000 verses, Matsya Purana 53.22. There are also similar statements in the Agni Purana. Jiva Goswami comments on this verse in his Sarva Sambhava. Of the Saraswata Kalpa, means in relation to the Supreme Lord's pastimes during that Kalpa, that day of Brahma. The words, those men and demigods who live then in that Kalpa, imply the idea that, in contrast, narrations in the Bhagavatam about the Supreme Lord mostly concern other kalpas. Those other narrations are indicated, for example, in the statement now here about the Padma Kalpa, Srimad Bhagavatam 2.10.47, footnote 4. The current day of Brahma is called the Saraswata Kalpa, which is known as the Svetavaraha Kalpa, or the Padma Kalpa. Srila Prabhupada explains how these names are interchangeable in his Bhagavatam purport. O King, I shall in due course explain the measurement of time in its gross and subtle features, with the specific symptoms of each. But for the present, let me explain to you the Padma Kalpa, Srimad Bhagavatam 2.10.47. The present duration of a Kalpa of Brahma is called the Varaha Kalpa, or Sweta Varaha Kalpa, because the incarnation of Lord as Varaha took place during the creation of Brahma, who was born on the lotus coming out of the abdomen of Vishnu. Therefore, this Varaha Kalpa is also called Padma Kalpa, and this is testified by acharyas like Jiva Goswami, as well as Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, in pursuance of the first commentator, Sridhar Swami. So there is no contradiction between the Varaha and the Padma Kalpa of Brahma. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.10.47 purport. And where specific statements say so, we can understand that narrations about the Lord sometimes involves other kalpas. Sarva Sambhadani 61. Skanda Purana says that the Mahabharata appeared after the 18 Puranas. Apparently. This contradicts what Srimad Bhagavatam says. It also seems contrary to the Garuda Purana's glorification of the Bhagavatam in the words, it establishes the meaning of the Mahabharata, footnote 5. This verse will be cited in 21.1. This is the most complete of the Puranas. It is the purport of the Vedanta Sutras. It establishes the meaning of the Mahabharata. It is a commentary on Gayatri. It completes the message of the Vedas, spoken directly by the personality of Godhead. It is the Samaveda among the Puranas. Right? Because Krishna says, of these three main, he's the Sama.
Yeah.
Right? With 12 cantos, hundreds of chapters, and 18,000 verses, this work is called Srimad Bhagavatam, Garuda Purana. We can reconcile this by bearing in mind that the Mahabharata was written previously and was then spoken to Janamejaya and others later. Because right? It hadn't necessarily been published. That's the thing that comes up, because that's the question that is there, is that, the speaking of the Bhagavatam was Parikit. So his son Janamejaya and his snake sacrifice, Mahabharata was published. So that means it was compiled before, because Vyasadeva had composed the book, but it needed to be written. So then that arrangement was made with Ganesh, Lord Brahma, the Ganesh. If you ask him, he can write it, right? And so then it was written at that time. And so it being written at that time doesn't necessarily mean it was published. So he had written it, but he wasn't satisfied. But it doesn't mean that, after everybody read it and then people started going, what's this? then he became unsatisfied. Sarva Sambhadani 62, 28.2. Another Purana cited as an authority by the commentator, Srila Sridhar Swami, Bhavartha Deepika 111. Also states, so when we say the commentator, that means Sridhar Swami.
Yes.
Right? And everybody else is then commenting after. It also states, the book known as Bhagavatam contains 18,000 verses and 12 cantos. It describes the meditation on the Supreme taught by the sage Hayagriva, and describes the killing of Vritta. It begins with Gayatri.
20.3.
Since the phrase, the meditation on the Supreme taught by Hayagriva, is mentioned alongside the killing of Rita, the phrase indicates the armor of Narayana prayer. The name Hayagriva refers to the sage Dadichi, who had a horse's head. He began the meditation on the Supreme, known as the Narayana Varma. That he had a horse's head. Is made clear in the Bhagavatam 6th canto by the word Ashvashira. He who is called horsehead.
Straightforward.
Yeah. Better than fat head or something like that. Srimad Bhagavatam 6952. That section of the Bhagavatam indeed presents the Narayana Varma as a meditation on the Supreme. Srila Sridhar Swami also confirms this by citing the verse, hearing this and feeling honored, Dadichi, descendant of Atharva, anxious not to break his promise, taught the two Ashwini Kumaras the Pravargya method and the meditation on the Supreme. Srimad Bhagavatam 20.4. Srimad Bhagavatam is most perfectly in the mode of goodness because it pleases the personality of Godhead and because devotees of the Lord very much prefer it. As we find in the Padma Puran, in the questions posed to Ambarish by Gotama, O ruler of the earth, do you sit before the deity of Lord Hari and recite the Bhagavat Purana, including the story of Prahlad, the king of the demons? Padma Puran, Uttarakhanda 22.115. Also in the Padma Puran, in the section glorifying Vanjuli Mahadvadasi, Gotama instructs Ambarish, one should stay awake throughout the night and hear narrations related to Lord Vishnu, the Bhagavad Gita, the thousand names of Vishnu, and the Purana spoken by Sukadeva. One should read these aloud with careful attention to give satisfaction to the Supreme Lord Hari. 20.5. Because this is spoken by him, though suttas relating it, because suttas relating all the 18 Puranas, but this one, the original Purana itself is spoken by Sukadeva. Yeah. You know, just like the Mahabharata is spoken by Vaishampayana, right? But then Sutta then recites that to the sages. Yeah. So elsewhere in the same work is the statement, my dear Ambarish, if you should listen regularly to the Bhagavatam spoken by Sukadeva. And if you want to see the end of your material life, recite the Bhagavatam with your own mouth. Also in the Prahlada Samhita of the Skanda Purana, in the section describing the glories of Dwarka, one who remains awake all night in front of the deity of Hari and recites Srimad Bhagavatam with devotion goes with all his family to the abode of the Supreme Lord. Commentary. Right, means the, what do you call it?
But family, how extended is that family?
We're talking about, well, how much do you consider family?
Okay, sorry.
How many of them do you still talk to?
Exactly, okay, got it.
Okay, yeah.
Who would you like to come?
Okay, so for some people this may be themselves.
And their dog.
Commentary. Srimad Bhagavatam is undoubtedly the topmost of the 18 major Puranas, because several Puranas glorify it as such, and no such list exclude or deny it. But some Devi worshippers insist that these works are in fact speaking of the Devi Purana, which was given the title Bhagavatam by virtue of its dedication to Bhagavati, Devi. This debate stems from the fact that, one, it has 18,000 verses, two, it is organized into 12 cantos, three, it begins with a form of the Gayatri Mantra, four, a few episodes in the life of Prahlad are described in this fourth canto, although without revealing much of his true saintly character, five, its sixth canto tells about the killing of Rita. The Devi Bhagavatam thus shares five of the characteristics attributed to the Bhagavatam mentioned. in the Puranic verses cited in Aducheda 19 and 20. But the verses mentioned here list four special characteristics not found in the Devi Bhagavatam. One, the Bhagavatam discusses events that occur in the day of Brahma, the Saraswata Kalpa, also known as the Sweta Varaha Kalpa, in which Lord Vishnu's incarnation as a boar has a white body. Two, it describes the Brahma Vidya taught by Hayagriva. Three, it was spoken by Sukadev. Four, it is a narration of Vaishnava character that one should recite in front of the deity of Lord Vishnu, Gayatri Mantra. The Devi Bhagavatam opens with a statement that appears to be based on the Gayatri. Sarva Chaitanya Rupa Tam Adyam Vidyam Cha Dimahi Buddhim Cha Na Prachodayat. Let us meditate on that primal energy of knowledge, who embodies all living beings. May she inspire our intelligence. There are two reasons the statement should not be equated with Gayatri. First, nothing in it corresponds to the words Savitu, Varenyam, and Bhargas from Gayatri. On the other hand, in Srimad Bhagavatam 111, there is such a correspondence. Secondly, the statement is a meditation on Devi, but as Srila Jiva Goswami illuminates in the next Anucheta, the true object of meditation in Gayatri is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu. The slaying of Vritrasura and Hayagriva, Brahma Vidya. There are additional reasons why the Bhagavatam referred to in the unidentified Puranic verse cited by Srila Sridhar Swami in text 20.2 is not the Devi Bhagavatam. The book is known as Bhagavatam, contains 18,000 verses and 12 cantos. It describes the meditation on the Supreme taught by the sage Hayagriva and describes the killing of Vritta. It begins with Gayatri. Like Srimad Bhagavatam, the Devi Bhagavatam also narrates the killing of Vritrasura. However, the story recounted there has a significant difference from the one in Srimad Bhagavatam. It makes no mention of the Hayagriva Brahma Vidya, the Narayana Varma, footnote 6. In the Devi Bhagavatam version of the pastime, Vritrasura performed severe penances for hundreds of years to please Lord Brahma. When Brahma appeared before him and offered a boon, Vritra asked that he would not be slain by any weapon made of iron or wood, or one that was dry or wet. After Lord Brahma granted his boon, Vritra attacked Indra and defeated him. Indra subsequently took help from Lord Vishnu, who entered Indra's thunderbolt and advised him to take the help of Devi and make a truce with Vritra. Indra then apparently befriended Vritra, but one day at dusk, Indra surprised Vritra on a beach and, empowered by Devi, slew him with his thunderbolt covered in sea foam. Thus his weapon was neither iron nor wood, nor wet nor dry. Gotta watch out for the foam of waves. This Hayagriva is not the horse-headed incarnation of Lord Vishnu spoken in the Vedas to Lord Brahma, who spoke the Vedas to Lord Brahma. Srila Jiva Goswami says in text 20.3 that the Hayagriva mentioned in text 20.2 is instead the one connected with the Vritrasura pastime. He is the sage Darichi, who taught the Ashwini Kumara's two vidyas, or systematic meditations on the Supreme for aspirants on various levels of realization. The Upanishads give instructions on several such vidyas, among them the Pravargya taught by Darichi, otherwise known as the Prana Vidya, a meditation on the Supreme in the form of the life air. The Chandogya Upanishad 1.11.4-5 introduces the Prana Vidya. Which is the controlling deity, he asks. It is Prana, the air of life. All beings enter within Prana, and all rise up again from Prana. That is the controlling deity. In the Vedanta Sutras 1.1.23, Srila Vyasa offers the aphorism, Ata Eva Pranaha, to prove that the Prana Vidya is not merely a depiction of a subtle physical energy, but a transcendental meditation on Brahman. Commenting on this sutra, Srila Baladeva Vibhushan says in his Govinda Bhashya, this prana is the Lord of all, not simply a transformation of the element air. Why is it characterized as the supreme? In that it is the cause of the generation and destruction of all beings. The second vidya taught to the Ashwinis by Didichi was the Narayana Kavacha, a meditation on God in many of his personal forms for protection from various kinds of danger. The name Narayana Kavacha is recited in the 8th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto. Although it is taught there by the sage Vishwarup, a grand disciple of Dadichi, to Lord Indra, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada elaborates on the story of Dadichi's teaching the Brahma Vidya in the Bhagavatam, in a Bhagavatam purport. The great sage Dadichi had perfect knowledge of how to perform fruitive activities, and he had advanced spiritual knowledge as well. Knowing this, the Ashwini Kumaras once approached him and begged him to instruct them in spiritual science, Brahma Vidya. Dadichi Muni replied, "I am now engaged in arranging sacrifices for fruitive activities. Come back sometime later." When the Ashwini Kumaras left, Indra, the king of heaven, approached Dadichi and said, "My dear Muni, the Ashwini Kumaras are only physicians. Please do not instruct them in the spiritual science. If you impart the spiritual science to them, despite my warning, I shall punish you by cutting off your head." After warning Dadichi in this way, Indra returned to heaven. The Ashwini Kumaras, who understood Indra's desires, returned and begged Dadichi for Brahma Vidya. When the great saints Dadichi informed them of Indra's threat, the Ashwini Kumaras replied, "Let us first cut off your head and replace it with the head of a horse. You can instruct Brahma Vidya through the horse's head. And when Indra returns and cuts off that head, we shall reward you and restore your original head." Okay.
One way to do it.
Sounds good. Since Dadichi had promised to impart Brahma Vidya to the Ashwini Kumaras, he agreed to their proposal. Therefore, because Dadichi imparted Brahma Vidya through the mouth of a horse, this Brahma Vidya is also known as Ashvashira, Srimad Bhagavatam 6952 purport. The Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna. The last piece of evidence Srila Jiva Goswami presents to demonstrate the uniqueness of the Bhagavat Purana is its intimate connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. It is Paramasattvika, a manifestation of pure goodness without any tinge of the material modes. The Devi Bhagavatam, in contrast, can make no such claims. One who remains awake all night in front of the deity of Hari and recites Srimad Bhagavatam with devotion goes with all his family to the abode of the Supreme Lord, Skanda Puran Pralad Sahita. The Bhagavatam is non-different from Hari. Dedicated to topics of Hari and in the end towards Hari, Srila Prabhupada mentions. We must therefore accept Srimad Bhagavatam as the direct representation of Lord Krishna. One who can see Srimad Bhagavatam can see also Lord Sri Krishna in person. They are identical. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.43 purport. The same point is reiterated throughout the Puranic literature. Srimad Bhagavatam and the Personality of Godhead are always of the same nature, possessed of eternal existence, full knowledge, and complete bliss. Skanda Purana Vishnu Kanda 6.4.3. Without a doubt, Srimad Bhagavatam is directly Lord Krishna. Padma Purana, Uttarakhanda, 198.30. Among all the Puranas, Srimad Bhagavatam is the best. In every line, great sages glorify Lord Krishna in various ways. Padma Purana, Uttarakhanda, 193.3. In addition, the 96th chapter, the first part of the Naradiya Purana, lists the topics of all 12 cantos of the Bhagavatam in order. This list fits Srimad Bhagavatam, not Devi Bhagavatam. The Padma Purana then explains how each of these cantos corresponds with one of Krishna's limbs. The first and second cantos are Lord Krishna's feet, and the third and fourth cantos are his thighs. The fifth canto is his navel. The sixth canto is his chest. And the seventh and eighth cantos are his arms. The ninth canto is his throat. The tenth canto is blooming lotus face. The 11th canto is forehead. And the 12th is head. I bow down to that Lord, the ocean of mercy, whose color is like that of a tamal tree, and who appears in this world for the welfare of all. I worship him as the bridge for crossing the unfathomable ocean of material existence. Srimad Bhagavatam has appeared as his very self. While all the Puranas are in some way linked to Vishnu, only the Bhagavata Purana is likened to the Lord's body as his direct personification. To further lay rest this notion that the Srimad Bhagavatam could refer to anything but the Bhagavata Purana, it should be considered that all the great saintly commentators on Prashtantraya, the 11 principal Upanishads, Vedanta Sutras, and Bhagavad Gita, directly quote it or at least cite it as a standard reference in their books. In contrast, no notable acharyas ever quoted from Devi Bhagavatam to support or prove any of their important statements. All this leaves no doubt that the Bhagavatam mentioned in the quoted Puranic verses is Srimad Bhagavatam. In this Anucheda, Srila Jiva Goswami has cited several statements that firmly establish Srimad Bhagavatam's rightful place in the list of 18 major Puranas. Not only that, but even among the Septa Puranas, it occupies a place of honor. Next, Srila Jiva Goswami demonstrates that Srimad Bhagavatam is the natural commentary on the Vedanta Sutras.
Since Devi Bhagavatam is not one of the Puranas?
No. It's something that I'm not sure what its origin is, but it's something that the tantrics, worshippers of Devi, that they're very inspired by. So they... I remember, not sure when it would have been published, but it would have probably been, you know, some time back, before the 70s, that the Puranic Encyclopedia didn't quote Devi Bhagavatam. It was just, it was like that. But then the one that you can find available now, the Puranic Encyclopedia, a lot of it is quoted from Devi Bhagavatam. So basically, whatever is Devi Bhagavatam, don't worry about it. Right? If it's quoted from the other Puranas, then, you know, it has some significance.
It's not that
Bhagavatam. It may be a Bhagavatam for worshippers of Devi. So, you know, for them it may be inspiring and everything, but it's not what the Puranas are talking about is the Bhagavatam. That's his point, because otherwise he's establishing that the Bhagavatam is the essence of the Veda. And then if somebody argues, well, that Bhagavatam therefore is Devi Bhagavatam, which they'd like to do, right? But the point is that's not what they're talking about, because it has some things that are similar, but not everything. The Guru Purana glorifies Srimad Bhagavatam, 21-22, text 21. The Garuda Purana states, "This is the most complete of the Puranas. It is the purport of the Vedanta Sutras. It establishes the meaning of the Mahabharata. It is a commentary on Gayatri, and it completes the message of the Vedas, spoken directly by the personality of Godhead. It is the Samaveda among the Puranas. With 12 cantos, hundreds of chapters, and 18,000 verses, this work is called the Srimad Bhagavatam." This one. Oh, I see. You just...
The same verse.
The same verse, just... Oh, I see. It was just quoted there. It wasn't in the line. Okay. Somehow I thought maybe... reading in the wrong place. Okay. 21.2. To say that the Bhagavatam is the purport of the Vedanta Sutras means that it is the natural commentary. He, Srila Vyasadeva, first conceived of the Vedanta philosophy in subtle form within his mind. He then summarized it as the Vedanta Sutras, and later he manifests Srimad Bhagavatam directly in its full elaborate form. Okay, so it means it's the natural commentary, because he conceived of the Vedanta philosophy, gave it in its concise form as Vedanta Sutra, and then elaborated on it as Bhagavatam. Right? So therefore it's the natural commentary. But also it's interesting to note that this natural commentary, this is something going back, it's not something Prabhupada's just he's coined, but it's Jiva Goswami is giving this presentation. Since this Bhagavatam has already appeared as the self-effulgent commentary on the Vedanta Sutras, we can infer that the commentaries produced by more recent authors from their own heads are worthy of attention only when faithful to the Bhagavatam. Right, so he put those together and did Bhagavatam, so any commentaries on the Vedanta Sutra will only have real meaning if they're in line with Bhagavatam, since Bhagavatam is the natural commentary on Vedanta Sutra. Right? So those means the acharyas that then it is in line with that, then that's appropriate. In other words, Shankara is left out. Yeah.
No.
Yes.
It's better not to make any commentary if we don't belong to any parampara.
It's better to?
To not to make any commentary.
No, because then it won't actually get any work done. I mean, you had some plans.
No,
you're not. You had some free time.
But it is a custom to comment on anything.
Yes. So that's the whole thing. You make a commentary, then you're. But basically, your main lines have all made their commentaries. So even if the impersonalists, their particular parampara, then they have their commentary. But the difficulty is it's not in line with the Bhagavatam. So therefore, it's not important because Vyasadeva already wrote the commentary. So that's the natural thing. Is that just like here is that. Jiva Goswami writes the Tattva Sandarbha. Then he writes his own commentary on the Tattva Sandarbha. Right? Now Baladev, he also writes a commentary on the Tattva Sandarbha, but it will be in line with the commentary of Jiva Goswami's. So there'll be no contradiction. Right? That's the natural way. So if the Vedanta Sutra is there, the Bhagavatam is the commentary, then why would any other commentary not be in line with that? Right, so in other words, if it doesn't establish the supremacy of Lord Vishnu and devotion, worship of him and devotion, then it's missed the point. Like that. That's the.
But it can have a different perspective on the same line.
Yes. It means that just, in other words, it has to establish devotion to Vishnu. It does that. So, in other words, you can follow that and go to Vaikuntha or to Dwarka or Ayodhya, wherever you like to go, but that the full manifestation of what it's fully explaining then takes it all the way to Vrindavan. But the point is if it's not about getting into the spiritual world in a relationship with the Lord, then it's not actually understanding it's not following Vyasadeva's natural commentary. Is that? Okay. So, the plans are off.
Think of all the free time you're having.
Yeah.
1 week.
Chant some japa.
He's a fast rider.
Yes. That's why I was thinking, about the week. That's why he brought it up.
Yeah, that's a week here.
So I can start preparing tonight.
It's probably will be in French.
Ah, yes.
Ooh. Of course.
What else? Srila Baladeva Vibhushan comments, though Bhagavatam is the natural commentary, one can respect recent commentaries in Brahma Sutras made by Vaishnavacharyas, which are not contrary to the Bhagavatam, tad anugatam. This indicates that other commentaries which are contrary, such as those written by Shankara, Bhatta, and Bhaskara, are to be avoided. Right, so then it's very specific here. So there's more than Shankara.
Mm-hmm.
It means probably Bhatta and Bhaskara have written commentaries on, expansions on Shankara. Because you have the Bhashya, then you have, which is the commentary, then you have what's called Tikas, and that where they're just bringing out some points, or there's some other names and different ways you can do. But they're, sub-commentaries.
Mm-hmm.
is significant too, because Balade Vijibhushan is the author of our Vedanta Sutra commentary, Govinda Bhushan.
Oh, yes, that's a good point. Mm.
So he's saying his own edition is bona fide.
Yes.
Very subtle way of.
Same line.
Oh, okay. Maybe it's back on. 21.3. Yeah, he'll just drop off the Shankara, Bhatta, and Bhaskara books. You know, he'll just drop them off. It establishes the meaning of the Mahabharata. Indicates that ascertained within the Bhagavatam is the meaning of the Mahabharata, whose characteristics are stated as follows. It is said that the Mahabharata establishes the purport of all scriptures. Once long ago, Vyasadeva made all the sages and the demigods, headed by Brahma, place the Mahabharata on one side of a scale, and all the Vedas on the other. The Mahabharata, they found, weighed more, because it is so great, Mahatvat, and so weighty, Bhara, Vatvat. It is called the Mahabharata. That's another point. That's why they were discussing Bhagavad. No, because it's saying it explains the meaning of the Mahabharata. So the significance is the Mahabharata is giving the purport of all scriptures. Yeah. Oh, that's the point. The Itihasas and the Puranas are giving the purport to the Veda. So then the Mahabharata is giving the purport to all the scriptures. Right? But it doesn't bring out that aspect of the direct, you know, how you say that, devotional service to the Lord. That's what then the Bhagavatam establishes. So then you can actually understand that. That means you can understand the Vedic literatures by the Mahabharata, you can understand the Mahabharata by the Bhagavatam. Like that. So if you understand Bhagavatam, then your study of Mahabharata, of the other Vedic literatures, will already be there. But Mahabharata is already given what's essential from all these other literatures. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes. 21.4. The Mahabharata also has the purpose of describing the divine personality of Godhead. Janamejaya states this to Sri Vedavyasa in the Moksha Dharma portion of the Mahabharata, in the Narayaniya subsection. Quote, "This Narayaniya is an unexcelled ocean of knowledge, churned with the churning rod of your wisdom from histories in the vast expanse of the Mahabharata's 100,000 verses, like butter churned from yogurt, like sandalwood brought from the Malaya hills, like the Aranyakas from the whole body of the Vedas, or like the nectar of life from medicinal herbs. O Brahmana, from the Mahabharata, this immortal nectar of narrations has been distilled. It was spoken by you, O storehouse of austerity, and is full of descriptions of Lord Narayana." Mahabharata, Shanti Parva, 3.3.1, verse 2-4. Commentary. Srimad Bhagavatam is one of the 18 Puranas, but Srila Vyasadeva wrote it after compiling the essence of the Vedas and the Vedanta Sutras, and after composing the Mahabharata and Puranas. But if the 18 Puranas had already been compiled, does this make Srimad Bhagavatam the 19th? In Anucheda 21.2, Srila Jiva Goswami explains that this is not the case. Srimad Bhagavatam appeared first to Srila Vyasadeva in a concise form, as one of the 18 Puranas, and he composed the Vedanta Sutras on the basis of this first edition of the Bhagavatam. Later, when he sat in trance in pursuance of Narad Muni's order, the expanded form of Srimad Bhagavatam was revealed to him as the natural commentary. Srila Prabhupada elaborates. Amongst mundane scholars, there is some diversity of opinion as to the date of compilation of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is, however, certain from the text of the Bhagavatam that it was compiled before the disappearance of King Parikshit and after the departure of Lord Krishna. When Maharaj Parikshit was ruling the world as the king of Bharatvarsha, he chastised the personality of Kali. according to revealed scriptures and astrological calculations. The age of Kali is in its 5,000th year. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam was compiled not less than 5,000 years ago. Mahabharata was compiled before Srimad Bhagavatam, and the Puranas were compiled before Mahabharata. That is an estimation of the date of compilation of the different Vedic literatures. The synopsis of Srimad Bhagavatam was given before the detailed description under direction of Narada, Srimad Bhagavatam 178 purport. Srimad Bhagavatam and the Vedanta Sutras share the same subject, the absolute truth, and they describe the same principles of Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana. Sutta Goswami alludes to Veda Vyasa's composing two editions of the Bhagavatam. The great sage Vyasa, after compiling the Srimad Bhagavatam and revising it, taught it to his own son, Sri Sukadeva Goswami, who was already engaged in self-realization. Srimad Bhagavatam 178. Commenting on this verse, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes, "The word anukramya in this verse means the Veda Vyas compiled a new edition of the already existing Srimad Bhagavatam. Anucheda 21.3 relates how the Mahabharata was once shown to be literally heavier than the Vedas. This came about because the Mahabharata, using simple narrations, elaborated upon and lucidly explained the concise and cryptic subject matter of the Vedas. Vyasadeva personally makes this point. Lord Brahma, in his great work, and Lord Brahma, in this great work, I have included the secret essence of all the Vedas and of all other scriptures as well. It explains in detail the Upanishads and the six corollaries and the Vedas. Mahabharata, Adiparva 1.162. The dissemination of its verses is mentioned in the Mahabharata itself, Adiparva 1.106-107. Then Srila Vyasadeva compiled another Samhita containing 6 million verses. Of these, 3 million are present on the heavenly planets, 1.5 million on the planet of the forefathers, and 1,400,000 on the planet of the Gandharvas. The remaining 100,000 verses are available among human beings. Mahabharata, Adiparva, 1.106-107. Although abridged, the version of Mahabharata on this planet is the longest epic ever written. It is more versatile than the Vedas because the restrictions that apply to studying the Vedas are absent with the Mahabharata. The confidential essence of the Mahabharata is its revelation of the personality of Godhead. However, only a few of its sections are dedicated to direct glorification of Lord Narayana as supreme, including the Moksha Dharma, Bhagavad Gita, Narayaniya, and Vishnu Sahasranam. By way of contrast, the entire Srimad Bhagavatam speaks only about the glories of the Supreme Lord, and this exhaustive focus makes it superior to the Mahabharata. The next Anucheda recites further proof that the Bhagavatam is the essence of all Vedic literature and the topmost Praman. Oh, okay.
I guess the choice now is we can read from Tapas and Dharma directly.
Oh, okay. Well, let's see.
If you like that.
We have 10 minutes. We only have 4 minutes. We only have 5 or 10 minutes. So this is where we're up to now.
Yeah.
22.
Mark, it's arranged a little differently. The Tapas and Dharma will be in the front, and the back section has all the Sarvasambhagini.
There's no Sarvasambhagini verses on page 28.
It's interesting the way it's arranged in the text, just separated, not together.
Okay, Tata Chatritye. The third canto of the Bhagavatam also says, "Your friend, the great sage Krishna Dwaipayana of Vyas, has already described the transcendental qualities of the Lord in his great work, the Mahabharata. The whole idea is to draw people's attention to Krishna Katha through their strong affinity for hearing mundane topics." Right. So that's the idea, because they like hearing mundane topics. Then within the story of them, then it was worked in everything else. Right? That's the... Therefore, the Bhagavatam serves as a commentary on Gayatri. And so it is that the Vishnu Dharmota. The Vishnu Dharmota. That was seen it spelled. And other Puranas, while explaining the Gayatri Mantra, elaborately describe the personality of Godhead. Later we shall explain the Jadmadyasya verse along these same lines. Vedarta Paribrimhita means by which the message of the Vedas is made complete, as expressed by the statements, such as one should complete the Vedas with the Itihasas and Puranas. The Samhita, the Sama is the best of the Vedas, and so, quote, the Sama Veda along among the Puranas means the best of the Puranas. Persons influenced by the material modes of passion and ignorance may not see that some of the other Puranas are dedicated to the personality of Godhead. But just as the Samaveda reconciles all the various statements of the three divisions of the Vedic text into a single consistent message, all the Puranas ultimately glorify the same Sri Bhagavan, whose glories the Bhagavatam establishes. Thus it is said throughout the Vedas and elsewhere in the Ramayana, Puranas, and Mahabharata. From the beginning to the middle to the end, the praises of Lord Hari are sung. This we shall demonstrate later in the Paramatma Sandarbha. And then the... Oh, I see. Okay. And then the Sarva Sambadini, where does it, how does, where is it established?
At the end of the book.
In how end? Glossary, general index. I mean, somewhere
there's
in...
There's no commentary until text 28.
Oh, he doesn't make any.
There's no commentary.
There's no Sarva Sambadini. Oh, okay. Directly spoken. Beginning to the praise of Lord Hari is sung. This we shall demonstrate later in the Paramatma Sandarbha. Directly spoken by the personality of Godhead can be understood in accordance with the summarizing verse. This Bhagavatam was spoken by the Lord to Brahma. To avoid increasing the length of this discussion, we will not elaborate on the phrase, including hundreds of chapters. Right, because otherwise you can, yeah. Thus we conclude that Srimad Bhagavatam indeed deserves the status of emperor of all scriptures, and that the commentator, Sridhar Swami, was correct in saying that, together with a golden lion, means placed upon a golden lion throne. For these reasons, the Skanda Purana has determined that one needs study only Srimad Bhagavatam, and that is the best of scriptures. And so the Skanda Purana says, in this Kali Yuga, of what use is a collection of hundreds or thousands of other scriptures in the home of someone who does not have the scripture Bhagavatam? In other words, if you're going to buy a book for your house, first buy Bhagavatam, then start with everything else. So.
We should get a book. Hmm? We should get a book.
Yes.
And then just start looking.
Get Bhagavatam. Yeah. If a person living in this Kali Yuga does not have the scripture Bhagavatam in his home, how can he be considered a Vaishnava? And Vaishnava.
One of the Vaishnavas,
yeah. Indeed, in Kali Yuga, a Brahmana who does not have the scripture Bhagavatam in his home is worse than a dog eater.
Okay, there you have it.
Okay, now we know which book. That settles it, right? O Brahmana Narada, in Kali Yuga, wherever the scripture Bhagavatam is present, there Lord Hari will go, along with the 30 principal demigods. Any human being who daily reads the devotion, even one verse of the Bhagavatam, O sage, will obtain the benefits of studying all 18 Puranas. Nowadays, therefore, those who want to understand the supreme goal of life should study Srimad Bhagavatam. Commentary. By presenting the complete science of Krishna consciousness, Srimad Bhagavatam explains the Gayatri Mantra in the same way that it establishes the meaning of the Mahabharata. According to the Agni Purana, Vishnu Dharmotra, Upa Purana, and other sources, the Lord of the Sun worshipped in the Gayatri Mantra is only superficially the Jiva, who rules our visible sun in the material world. Understood on a higher level, Gayatri is addressed to the Supersoul of the Sun God, the Supreme Lord in the form of Surya Narayan. When Brahmanas chant the Brahma Gayatri, they are praising the light, Bhargas, of the effulgent sun, Deva, who is the inspired Savita of all life. Physically, Savita is the sun visible to everyone in the sky. But knowledgeable people recognize, according to Vedic authority, that Savita, more essentially, is the name of a powerful demigod, the soul of this external body of the sun globe. And a wise person understands that the original Savita is the personality of Godhead, the super soul of the sun god and all other souls. Srimad Bhagavatam was first spoken at the beginning of creation by Lord Garbhodakshayi Vishnu to Brahma, the sole creature in the universe at that time. Because no one else was present to act as Brahma's spiritual master, the Supreme Lord himself spoke the transcendental knowledge of the Bhagavatam to Brahma from within the heart. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Kaveye, Bhagavatam 111. By hearing the first capsule version of Srimad Bhagavatam in the first four verses, Brahma became Adikavi, the original scholar of the science of God. Brahma later expanded the Bhagavatam into several hundred verses for his own son Narada, and Narada inspired Krishna Dwaipayana Vyas to receive his meditation, the fully developed Bhagavatam of the 18,000 verses in 335 chapters. And so that means that these four verses, that is the Bhagavatam. Because he asked, what's the essence of the Veda? And he gave those four verses. So that is the Bhagavatam. Then it has so many versions that are bigger and bigger. Just like the Mahabharata. Then it has the 100,000 that we know. Then, you know, 1,000, 1,400, no, a million. Yes. 1.4 million verses of the Gandharvas. And like this, it just goes up and gets bigger and bigger. You know, I guess they have a lot more time.
So they probably can more focus also.
Well, they don't have to work like a dog to maintain themselves, so they have time to listen to Bhagavatam. Yes.
Each scripture has a main verse, like Kalidasa Sutra.
Generally.
Mahabharata will be chapter 40 of Gita.
Yeah, I guess you could say.
Abhidhamma Sutra.
Means you'd have to see what the acharyas say, but I mean it's always going to be in line with the opening. So Tato Brahma Jigyasa, that will be the opening. So then if there's something different from that to summarize the whole thing, I'm not sure. Because I think it's the Parivasha they give in the Gita, the one about, you know, I'm not even sure. It's not like man manava man bhakto man yachi man muskuru like that. Some manuscripts and printed editions of Sri Tattva Sandarbha include several additional sentences in this Anucheda, texts that deal further with the Mahabharata and then at length with the Agni Purana's explanation of Gayatri. Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushan, however, does not say anything about these texts in his commentary. The extra passage repeats a few phrases found elsewhere in the Anucheda and seems to interrupt the flow of the argument. We have chosen not to include it in our text, on the grounds that it may have been inserted later as someone else's comment. The omitted passage is reproduced in the appendixes of this volume entitled Additional Text Found in Alternative Readings for Anucheda 22. Another two redundant sentences near the end of this Anucheda have also been removed. The third Sandarbha, Sri Paramatma Sandarbha, will turn its attention to the Gayatri Mantra in its 105th Anucheda, explaining it at some length, with reference to the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam and to various scriptures as a meditation on the personality of Godhead. Text 23. Thus, even though there are many other revealed scriptures, it has been said this Purana has now risen like the sun for those who have lost their sight in the age of Kali. From this comparison to the sun, we can deduce that without help from the Bhagavatam, other scriptures cannot adequately depict reality. Sri Hayashirsha Parancharatra, in the course of describing various scriptures, lists the Tantra called Tantra Bhagavat as a kind of commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. There are many commentaries on Bhagavatam, including Sri Hanumad Bhashya, Vasana Bhashya, Sambandhoti, Vidvat Kamadenu, Tattva Deepika, Bhavarta Deepika, Paramahamsa Priya, and Shuka Hridaya. as well as a number of monographs on specific topics. Monographs such as Muktafala, Hari Lila, Bhakti Ratnavali, and so on. Various enlightened authors composed these prominent works, each commenting according to the opinion of his own school. The section called Charity in Hemadri's book, while discussing the giving of Puranas as gifts, praises the Bhagavatam by quoting from the Matsya Purana the list of the Bhagavatam's special features. And in the appendix of his work, under the heading of Defining the Significance of Various Times, when he defines the principles of religious life for Kali Yuga, he cites the text that begins, quote, "Advanced souls have great respect for Kali Yuga," end quote. Hemadri identifies this text as a verse from the Bhagavatam and acknowledges that only the religious principles enunciated in the Bhagavatam are suitable for the Kali age. In another work, Samvatsara Pradipa, the author quotes the several verse passage from the Skanda Purana cited above, beginning with, quote, what is the use of hundreds of thousands, end quote, and then inserts in his text several verses from the Bhagavatam that he recommends for copying by hand to purify oneself from the defects of this age. Shankaracharya, known to be an incarnation of Lord Shankara, considered the message of Srimad Bhagavatam far superior to his own conception of merging with the Supreme, inasmuch as the Bhagavatam reveals the pleasure pastimes of pure devotion, as well as other special truths. Because the personality of Godhead wanted to hide himself and accomplish other purposes, he ordered Shankaracharya to put forward the philosophy of oneness, as we shall discuss later on. Nonetheless, Shankaracharya was anxious not to disturb the Bhagavatam, the original authorless commentary on the Vedanta, by depicting in his Govindastika and other works events described only by the Bhagavatam, such as the Queen of Raja's amazement at seeing the total form of the universe, and Krishna stealing the clothes of the unmarried girls of Raja. Shankaracharya kept himself at a respectful distance and merely touched the Bhagavatam to assure the success of his own words. Commentary. Just as the constant sun reappears each morning to remove the darkness of sleep and inspire everyone to engage once more in the purposeful activities of life, the eternal Srimad Bhagavatam manifests itself especially in the ignorant age of Kali as the one transcendental sun of spiritual enlightenment. Only through the light of the Bhagavatam can the real purpose of life be known in Kali Yuga. In the beginning of the Bhagavatam 1.1.2.3, the sages at Naimisharanya asked Suta Goswami, "Since Krishna, the Absolute Truth, the master of all mystic powers, has departed for his own abode, please tell us to whom the religious principles have now gone for shelter. Suta answered, "Krishne sve dhamo padate dharma jnanadibhi saha kalau nashta drisham eshta puranarko duno dita." This Bhagavad Purana is as brilliant as the sun, and it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by religion, knowledge, etc. Persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance in the age of Kali shall get light from this Purana. Bhagavatam 1.3.34. Many ages ago, while Lord Brahma was first contemplating the work of creation, before he had begun, the personality of Godhead spoke to him a synopsis of Srimad Bhagavatam in four verses, which was recorded in the second canto, 2.9.33-36. After hearing these verses, Brahma was completely educated. He was awakened to pure devotional service, and he remembered from earlier in his life everything needed to reconstruct the universe. For his most spiritual qualified son, Narada, he then amplified the four-verse Bhagavatam into a narration of 133 verses, 2.259-2.753. Under Narada's guidance, Vyasadeva discovered in meditation the complete eternal Bhagavatam, which he then taught to his son Sukadeva. Sukadeva spoke this full Bhagavatam to Pariksit Maharaj in the last 7 days of Pariksit's life. Finally, Suta Goswami, who was present when Pariksit passed away, repeated the Bhagavatam to the sages at that great Soma sacrifice at Naimisharanya. From one point of view, it appears that each of these speakers added something of his own to the text, at least some introductory and connecting verses here and there, From another point of view, it should be understood that because Vyasadeva is Trikalagya, or infallible seer of past, present, future, it was not at all impossible for him to include in his own recitation statements not yet made by Sukadeva, Purigat, Sutta, and Shonaka. I meditate on that pure and spotless Supreme Absolute Truth, who is free from suffering and death, and who in the beginning personally revealed his incomparable torchlight of knowledge to Brahma. Brahma then spoke it to the sage Narada, who narrated it to Krishna Dwaipayana Vyas. Srila Vyas revealed this Bhagavatam to the greatest of sages, Sukadeva Goswami, and Sukadeva mercifully spoke it to Maharaj Pariksit, Bhagavatam 12.13.19. A living being is always growing, at least until fully mature. But the Bhagavatam, even after reaching maturity in its recitation by Sukadeva Goswami, has continued to expand its glories through the ongoing process of commentation by self-realized Vaishnava Acharyas. Srila Jiva Goswami mentioned in this Anucheda a number of commentaries by Acharyas of various sampradayas, known to him in the 16th century. And fortunately, several of these commentaries are no longer available or even identifiable. The Tantra Bhagavat is not in the normal category of commentaries because it is the eternal Shruti and therefore has no human author. It is known from having been cited by Srila Madhvacharya, and there is one old, possibly authentic manuscript copy of it in the library of the Asiatic Society of Calcutta. Bhavartha Deepika by Srila Sridhar Swami is one of the oldest extant Bhagavatam commentaries. Because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu respected Bhavartha Deepika as standard authority, commentators in the line of Lord Chaitanya, including Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, sometimes use Sridhar Swami's explanations as the basis upon which they elaborate on Bhagavatam verses. Lord Chaitanya's followers are obliged to accept the Lord's opinion, as recorded in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Lila 7.133-135. Sridhara Swami Prashade Bhagavat Jani, Jagat Guru Sridhar Swami Guru Kari Mani. Sridhar Swami is the spiritual master of the entire world, because by his mercy we can understand Srimad Bhagavatam. I therefore accept him as a spiritual master. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya 1.17-133. Sridharera Anugata Ye Kara Likhana Shabaloka Manye Kari Karibe Gurahana. One who comments on Srimad Bhagavatam following in the footsteps of Sridhar Swami will be honored and accepted by everyone. Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Lila 7.135. Among the followers of Lord Chaitanya, Srinath Chakravarti, Sanatan Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti, and Baladev Vidyabhushan wrote Bhagavatam commentaries, culminating this veritable tradition. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder chair of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, wrote his Bhaktivedanta purports. In these purports, the priceless treasure of the cumulative realizations of all the above great Vaishnavas, going back to the Bhagavatam's original speakers, are transmitted to us in contemporary language. In the 13th century A.D., the Maharashtrian scholar Vopadeva wrote the commentary called Paramahamsa Priya and two other works based on Srimad Bhagavatam, Muktafala and Hari Lila. Vopadeva is known as the author of numerous influential works on grammar, medicine, literature, and religious principles of behavior. Muktafala consists of about 1,800 Bhagavatam verses arranged topically, with only a few additional verses of introduction and final summary composed by the author. Hari Lila is a simple listing of the Bhagavatam's contents. As mentioned by Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushan in his Prameya Ratnavali, some scholars of the time, the 18th century, mistakenly thought that Vopadeva was himself the author of Srimad Bhagavatam. This wrong idea, based on Vopadeva's having written three books on the Bhagavatam, was reiterated in the early 19th century by the British Indologist Colebrook and Wilson, and the misconception continued to have some supporters even into the 20th century. Vishnu Bhakti Ratnavali by Vishnu Puri, a sannyasi disciple of Jayadharma Tirtha of the Madhva Sampradaya, was written about 150 years before the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. This Vishnu Puri is different from the one who lived with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. Vishnu Bhakti Ratnavali is also a collection of verses from the Bhagavatam, with a few verses added by the author and a few taken from other Puranas and the Hari Bhakti Suryodaya. The verses are arranged in a way that clearly explains the nine processes of devotional service to Krishna, from hearing and chanting to full surrender. Even authorities on mundane matters like Himadri sometimes acknowledges the greatness of Srimad Bhagavatam. In his Chaturvarga Chintamani and other textbooks for Smarta Brahmanas, Himadri corroborated the Bhagavatam's opinion that Nama Sankirtan, the congregational chanting of God's names, is a suitable religious practice in Kali Yuga. Shripad Shankaracharya is one of the greatest devotees of Sri Krishna because he is a direct incarnation of his namesake, Lord Shiva. Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu. Lord Shiva is not a finite soul like other demigods, but in a special category of his own, between the Jivas and God. On behalf of the Supreme Lord, he contracts the Lord's material energy, Maya, and becomes her consort. He presides over the varieties of material illusion created by Maya's three modes, especially the lowest mode of ignorance. One of his special assignments in Kali Yuga, delegated to him by Lord Vishnu directly, is to appear as a Brahmana teacher on the earth and propagate an impersonal misinterpretation of the Upanishads and Vedanta Sutras. He appeared some 1300 years ago and fulfilled this order, and in the process replaced the Buddhist nihilism, then prominent in India, with a similar philosophy that reestablished the authority of the Vedas. Although to fulfill that mission he had to commit violence to the correct understanding of the Vedanta Sutras and other sacred texts like the Bhagavad Gita, Shankaracharya refrained from openly commenting on Srimad Bhagavatam. In certain of his works, however, the Govindastika, Yamunastika, Prabodha Shudhakara, and Sarva Siddhanta Sangraha, he honored the Bhagavatam by referring to pastimes described by that topmost scripture. Only later did some of Shankar's followers dare take advantage of the Bhagavatam for their own contrary purposes. Text 24. The revered Sri Madhvacharya, Krishna's devotees, recount, as in the direct succession of Shankara, after seeing Srimad Bhagavatam, however, he became an inherent of Vaishnava thought. Concerned that other Vaishnavas might be influenced by the commentaries of the followers of Shankara, like Punyaranya, Sri Madhva wrote his own explanation of the Bhagavatam to show the correct way to understand its intended message. Thus, the first canto of the Bhagavatam itself aptly states, Sri Vyasadeva delivered Srimad Bhagavatam to his son, the most respected amongst the self-realized, after extracting the cream of all the Vedic literatures and histories of the universe. And in the 12th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam is declared the essence of all Vedanta philosophy. One who has felt satisfaction from his nectarian mellow will never be attracted to any other literature. Again in the first canto, O expert and thoughtful men, relish Srimad Bhagavatam, the mature fruit of the desire tree of Vedic literatures. It emanated from the lips of Sukadeva Goswami. Therefore, this fruit has become even more tasteful, although its nectarian juice was already relishable for all, including liberated souls. And in the same canto, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto him, Sukha, the spiritual master of all sages, the son of Vyasadeva, who, out of his great compassion for those gross materialists who struggled to cross over the darkest regions of material existence, spoke this most confidential supplement to the cream of Vedic knowledge after having personally assimilated it by experience. These statements imply that the philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam reigns over all others. Commentary. Srila Madhvacharya, whom the members of the Sampradaya also call by a sannyas name, Ananda Tirtha, received the Brahma Sampradaya, revived the Brahma Sampradaya in this age. By the time of his birth in the 13th century, the Brahma Sampradaya had become virtually indistinguishable from Shankara's Mayavad school. Sri Madhva's predecessors held the sannyas title Tirtha, which Madhva accepted and passed on to his disciplic descendants. Technically, however, the name is one of the 10 assigned by Shankaracharya to the sannyasis of his Advaita Sampradaya, and is not included in the traditional list of 108 names meant for Vaishnava sannyasis. Madhva, considering the monistic viewpoint of his initiating guru and other teachers unacceptable, took upon himself the mission of reestablishing the true teachings of Bhagavad Dharma as originally inculcated by Brahma, Narad, and Vedavyas. Madhvacharya named his commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam the Bhagavat Tatparya Nirnaya, signifying that his intention was to show the definitive understanding of the Bhagavatam. In his work and in all of his writings, Sri Madhva uncompromisingly opposed the Mayavadis, who confuse and merge the separate identities of the Supreme Person, the Jivas, and the material nature. He especially wanted devotees of Lord Vishnu to avoid any conjecture that Srimad Bhagavatam could be aiming at an impersonal, formless conception of the Supreme. Because Madhva and his followers were so staunch in their defiance of impersonalism, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chose to formally affiliate himself with their sampradaya, to become a disciple of Sri Ishwara Puri, who was a great grand disciple of the eminent Madhvaita Acharya Vyasatirtha. Thus, out of deep respect for the founder Acharya of the Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, Srila Jiva Goswami here refers to him as the plural Sri Madhvacharya Charanai. Srimad Bhagavatam contains only the choicest substance, Sharam Sharam, carefully selected from all the Shrutis and Smritis. It embodies the essence of all the mysteries of the Upanishads. It is the final perfect fruit of the gradual revelation of Vedic thought to the phases of worldly rituals, demigod worship, and impersonal meditation. It is the source of divine light for all those willing to accept it in the present age of darkness. Srila Vyasadeva chose one of his numerous disciples, his own son, Sukadeva, to receive this Bhagavatam. Sukadeva is like a parrot, Shuka, not only because he repeated perfectly what he had heard, but also because Srimad Bhagavatam became all the more relishable after emanating from his mouth. Just like a ripe fruit whose skin has been broken by a parrot's beak is sweeter, its pulp having become softer and more sugary. Sukadeva's meeting Parikit and reciting to him the Bhagavatam was an act of sheer kindness to the unfortunate souls of Kali Yuga. The sages who assembled with Parikit on the bank of Sri Ganga and those who surrounded Sutta and Shonaka as Naimisharanya thus unanimously acknowledged Sukadeva as their spiritual preceptor for the single feat of speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. Text 25. It is well known that Sukadeva assumed the role of guru for all of the sages, who placed him on the seat of instructor for their assembly. Thus it is said, at that time all the great-minded thinkers, accompanied by their disciples, arrived there on the plea of making a pilgrim's journey. Simply by their presence, such sages verily sanctify a place of pilgrimage. From different parts of the universe, there arrived great sages like Atri, Vishishta, Shyavana, and Sharadvan, Arishtanemi, Prigu, and Angira, Parasara, Vishvamitra, or Vishvamitra, and Parasuram, Utatya, Indrapamada, and Idmavahu. The sage Medhatiti arrived, and Devala and Arishtinena, Bharadvaj, Gotama, Pipalad arrived, and Maitreya, Aurva, Kavasha, and Kumbayoni, and Dwaipayana arrived, and the great Narada. And from different dynasties of sages, there were also many other saintly demigods, brahmanas, and kings, and a special rank of saintly kings called Arunadyayas. When they all assembled to meet the emperor, Parikit, he received them properly and bowed his head to the ground. After all the rishis and others had seated themselves comfortably, the king, humbly standing before them with joined palms, told them of his decision to fast until death. Then the king said, O trustworthy brahmanas, I now ask you about my immediate duty. Please, after proper deliberation, tell me of the unalloyed duty of everyone in all circumstances, and specifically of those who are just about to die. Then, while he was asking, at that moment there appeared the powerful son of Vyasadeva, who traveled over the earth indifferent and satisfied within himself. He did not manifest any symptoms of belonging to any social order or status of life. He was surrounded by women and children and was dressed like an avatut. Then the sages all rose from their seats to honor him, and finally, Sukadeva Goswami was then surrounded by saintly sages and demigods, just as the moon is surrounded by stars, planets, and other heavenly bodies. His presence was gorgeous, and he was respected by all. It appears that they all showed up before he arrived. Yes. Right, you know, just so they could be there when he did arrive. You know, you don't want to miss anything.
How does an avadut dress?
No
Kopin.
It could be anything.
Dressed like an avadut, I'm thinking.
Yeah, it doesn't. It just means it didn't fit into any.
It's not the
varna or ashram.
None of the above.
Yeah. Yes.
How did they recognize him?
He stands out.
I mean, by the physical symptoms, you can see all the auspicious symptoms in that. That's one of the things. And then, you know, it's natural effulgence and like that. So. Like, how many people do you know have, you know, big lotus eyes and all the, you know, the three ring lines on the, you know, the neck, the stomach?
The children and women, they couldn't see?
No. The ladies thought he looked nice, that's why they were following, and the kids thought he was crazy, that's why they were following. Everybody was seeing something, but only when he came to that assembly that the sages, they recognized. My God. Yeah. Sukadeva commentary. Sukadeva Goswami had no material credentials. He had not even taken Brahminical initiation. Still, all the sages who came to witness the passing away of King Parikshit deferred to his authority without question. Three categories of rishis came to the bank of the Ganga outside Hastinapur. Parikshit's capital, to be with him while he fasted and waited for death. Narada represented the demigods. Vyasadeva led the many elevated brahmanas, and a number of kings who were saintly like Parikshit also came to listen. Though all these sages were expert enough to instruct Parikshit, they had all arrived for the specific purpose of hearing Sukadeva speak Srimad Bhagavatam. Even in the company of their disciples, they were glad to take the humble role of Sukadeva's audience. Parikshit was already fully God-conscious, and he had everyone else present. But he and everyone else present in this assembly were concerned for the welfare of the future inhabitants of this deluded world. Parikshit Maharaj first offered his sincere respect to all the sages together, addressing them as viparas, learned Brahmins. He asked any or all of them to inform him what he should do now that he was about to face death. In the presence of so many great authorities, including Narada and Vyas, a cultured Vaishnava like Parikshit could not avoid asking their advice. But almost everyone present was aware by mystic insight that Sukadeva Goswami would answer the king's questions. And indeed, at that very moment, Sukadeva appeared, unannounced. As soon as they saw Sukadeva, they recognized him and at once stood up from their seats. Without any deliberation, they offered him the speaker's chair. Sukadeva, who had come there of his own accord, had no motive for profit or reputation in speaking to Parikshit in front of the sages. Parikshit also came there freely without material purpose, as did the rest of the audience. This is the best attitude with which to approach Srimad Bhagavatam. The speaker should, as much as possible, be of the same standard of Sukadeva Goswami, and the hearer should be as renounced and surrendered as Parikshit and the great sages. Text 26. Both Srila Vyasadeva and Narada were present. They were Sukadeva's spiritual master and grand spiritual master. Yet as Srimad Bhagavatam emanated from Sukha's mouth, to them it seemed like something they had never heard before. Thus it is understood that Sukadeva acted as preceptor even for the two of them. It is said, by being touched by Sukha's mouth, this fruit has become soft and full of nectar. For this reason also, Srimad Bhagavatam is superior to all other scriptures. When we hear that the Matsya and other Puranas are the greatest, That is only relative. Indeed, Srimad Bhagavatam is the exact image of Sri Krishna himself, and we need say nothing more. As the first canto states, this Srimad Bhagavatam is as brilliant as the sun, and it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by religion, knowledge, etc. Persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance in the age of Kali shall get light from this Purana. Therefore, we see that this scripture is uniquely endowed with all good qualities. This is shown by such statements as completely rejecting all religious activities that are materially motivated, and, in the words of Hemadri's commentary on Mukta Phala, the Vedas, Puranas, and poetic works instruct like a master, a friend, and a lover, respectively. The Bhagavatam, however, teaches in all three ways. So, even if, as some people think, other Puranas are subordinate to the authority of the Vedas, Srimad Bhagavatam directly denies this idea in regard to itself. In other words, the Bhagavatam independently asserts its own authority. Indeed, its authority is that of the highest Shruti, as indicated by the question, how did it so happen that King Parikshit met the great sage, making possible the speaking of this Shruti text? The conversation between Sri Vyasadeva and Narad in the first canto gives supportive evidence to our earlier statement that all the other Puranas were revealed first and then the Bhagavatam. Commentary. Both Vyasadeva and Narad were familiar with the text of the Bhagavatam, the same text Sukadeva spoke to Parikshit. Still, as Srimad Bhagavatam emanated from Sukadeva's mouth, to them it seemed like something they had never heard before. The great sages present recognized Sukadeva's simple recitation of the Bhagavatam as a profound act of interpretation, in a way perfectly suiting the time and place. Sukadeva once again bringing the almost forgotten Bhagavatam into this world and making it even more relishable. Some years later, Suta Goswami gave birth to it in yet another incarnation, even more public, and after this, many Vaishnava commentators brought forth new interpretations for the benefit of one generation after another. As the general level of culture went through natural ups and downs over the centuries, tending overall in the direction of diminishing intelligence, the acharyas adjusted their explanations for their own students' understanding. As a rule, the weaker intelligence of each new generation in Kali Yuga made necessary more and more thorough commentary. Most recently, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada achieved a masterful feat of interpretation, comparable in its creative boldness only to Sukadeva's recitation. By lucidly rendering the text of the Bhagavatam and its commentaries into English, a language ordinarily not fit for expressing the subtleties of Vaishnava theology. All along, the... No Hari Bol?
Hey, that's our legend.
All along, the faithful handlers of Srimad Bhagavatam have preserved this message free from distortion. The Vedas instruct as a master instructs a servant. Vedic injunctions are not dictatorial commands, however. They are always given as recommendations, addressed to mature human beings capable of deciding for themselves what to do. The voice of the Puranas is friendlier than that of the authoritarian Vedas. By recounting history and offering reasonable arguments, the Puranas patiently encourage their readers to accept their good advice. Fine poetry speaks with yet another voice, that of the beloved. Srimad Bhagavatam, however, speaks fluently and convincingly in all three of these languages. Okay, so those were the three that was mentioned before. The authoritative element of the Puranas, like the teacher, right, the master. The Puranas are like a friend, and the poetries are like love. Various Puranas present rival claims of superiority, which may all be relatively true. The status of Srimad Bhagavatam, however, is absolute. There's no higher authority to revitalize the teachings of the Bhagavatam. The other Puranas shine forth in the assembly of saintly devotees only as long as the great that great ocean of nectar, Srimad Bhagavatam is not heard. Bhagavatam 12, 13, 14. The authority of other Puranas depends on the Vedic Shruti for verification, but Srimad Bhagavatam is independent. Srila Jiva Goswami even suggests that although the Bhagavatam officially belongs to the second category of Smriti, along with the other Puranas, it is in fact the most exalted Shruti scripture. Therefore, Srila Jiva calls the Bhagavatam the Pratinidhi Rupa of Sri Krishna, his exact image. Because God and his image are non-different, this implies that Srimad Bhagavatam is the full incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in sound. Okay. Any questions? Appreciated the storyline.
Narration
is also good. Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jaya Srila Prabhupada ki
Jaya
Sarvaita Bhaktivrinda ki Jaya Jaya Nitya Gaura ki Jaya